This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Hello, fair listener. Barely Normal here. You know, podcasting is not an exact science, and sometimes technology gets the better of us. This episode does have some sound quality issues, and we apologize for that. But the information is great, and we did have a good time, and we do enjoy you listening to our show. So with that, let's get to the show. Well, hello and welcome to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about all things puppy and consensual sexual play. I am Barely Normal, and with me is...
I am Keynes.
I'm Pup Dawson.
And this week, to keep up with Mental Health Awareness Month, hard to say, we are going to be chatting with about neurodivergent puppies and how puppy play and kink help us cope, as well as tips for our neurotypical pups and handlers out there. I should have rehearsed that because that's a mouthful. So with a bachelor's degree...
Puppy has run-on sentences, yes. Sorry.
With a bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary studies and psychology, as well as 2 years in the pup community, we are happy to wag our tails and lose our guest host cherries. Keynes put that in there.
Yes.
To welcome our special guest this week, Scout Winchester. Welcome to the show.
Aw, thanks. I'm so glad I'm your first.
Huff.
Okay.
Just please be gentle. That's all
yes.
I ask.
Yes.
More lube, less
gentle
bit.
First.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to back off a little bit and ask, and I'll just kind of jump in as I need it. But I'm going to let Keynes and Dawson basically run this show this week.
Oh my.
Oh my.
We didn't rehearse this.
I know. We didn't rehearse this.
You didn't even tell me this.
Hey, surprise.
Oh.
Puppy brain go crazy.
So if you thought, this episode is.
Bus, choo-choo. Here they are.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay. So Scout.
Okay. Scout. You want me? I'll start you off. Okay. Scout.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself to start with, and then jump into the neurotypical pups and handlers out there. And why is it you wanted to come on our show and talk about this?
All right. I'm going to do my best to remember. Like I said, my ADHD is real bad, but... Oh, yeah. So I've been a pup for about 2 years this October. And one of the things I really like about pup play is it, for me... It allows a channel of escape. It's also like a part of my personality. So I'm always like, putting out, even accidentally, at work and such. And I really, what was I going to say? Okay, we'll just go to the last question. So the reason why I wanted to come up here is, I am very passionate about mental health and specifically pup play. And I just wanted to share some thoughts and what I know and then what I do sometimes with pups that I work with, like who are neurodivergent.
Okay. So I do have a question because I'm not puppy smart. I'm more puppy smart and not human smart. But what is the big word you're using, and what does it mean?
Big words?
The word what?
The multi divergent.
Oh, multidisciplinary.
Neurodivergent. That word.
Neurodivergent. Yes.
Yes. I don't know what that means. So.
So basically, what it means is, so I'll give you some examples. So like people with ADHD. So it's different powers of thinking that may be a little harder, to cope with. But some good examples of neurodivergence is helps with ASD or autism spectrum disorder,
Okay. Well, hold on. Hold on real quick. Dawson just broke his full-on mic as we're streaming. He literally just like pops up the whole like holder of it as he's trying to adjust it.
My arm wasn't supposed to move that way. Okay.
Sorry, Scout.
Speaking of people whose brains whose don't work properly or works differently.
I mean, plug my computer in. I mean, it's not dying, but it's charging.
So while you're plugging in, basically the definition for neurodivergent, it describes people whose brains don't work in a neurotypical or a regular quote unquote fashion. So like a quote unquote neurotypical person would see 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4, but a neurodivergent person would see that as 1 + 1 - 2 + 1 = 4. So they just have a different way of getting to the same. I don't even know if that math makes sense, but you get the idea.
So it's basically
like you have one person that gets to the answer all the time, but then you'll have like neurodivergent people who will get to that same answer. It'll either take them a couple steps or they'll do it in a way that you're like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, so basically it's people whose brain differences affect how their brains works. Yeah. So like I know people with Asperger's, that's autism spectrum disorder, for example, like people who, you know, have Asperger's or, you know, like have troubles reading social situations, they may take things literally or have concrete thinking. So they may not be able to spot difference of, you know, like, oh, this person's using sarcasm. So that's one example. Another example, of course, is ADHD. That's a very big example. So like you take in information and then it's just somehow not there. Just like doesn't go all the way. So like the message doesn't go through completely. So people with ADHD may always constantly have to say, you know, like, what was that again? Can you repeat that? I need to try this again. Versus some examples.
I am Bender. Please insert girder.
So I actually was diagnosed with ADHD when I was younger. So yes, I know what all of this stuff is. I'm liking to you know play the dumb puppy and go about this. But like medications. So like when I was on the medication, like I could focus on whatever I was doing.
Ooh, what's your drug of choice?
They put me on Ritalin.
I'm a Vyvanse.
I mean, this was also in like early 2000s. So I mean,
back then I was on Cymbalta and Ritalin.
Yeah. So basically the Ritalin would, yes, help me focus in school, but it also made me really not happy a lot of times. It had some like major side effects to it.
I loved my Ritalin, but the only reason I loved my Ritalin was because it kept me awake. So I wouldn't use it in school. I would save it and mule it in my tongue and save it for like when WWE, again going back to our sex position a couple of weeks back with the Shawn Michaels, I would tongue the medicine and hold on to it, and then I would take it when I got home so I would stay up all night because my mom wouldn't let me watch the pay-per-views. But back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember the Free Day or the little cards that you can put into like the Star Dish boxes or like the Bell Express boxes. It was basically you take out the regular dish card that you got and you would put in like this electronic one and you would get all the channels. Like that's basically how I found out about gay porn before the internet was around.
I think that's a Canadian thing. We never had that.
Maybe.
We never had anything like that in the States.
But you're able to get all the channels. So we would do that. But then I forgot where I was going with this conversation.
Your Ritalin, stay up all night.
Oh yeah, my Ritalin. So yeah, so I ended up, my mom wouldn't let me watch the wrestling shows when they aired. So there would be a repeat on at midnight. So I would wake up, have my Ritalin pill already in my system, watch it. That pay-per-view would finish up by 4:30 in the morning, just before my mom would wake up to get ready for work, and I would go pretend to sleep, and then I would get ready for school, and then carry on my day, and then my mom would give me my next Ritalin pill, so I wouldn't have to worry about falling asleep at school, because yay, drugs.
Yeah, so basically, I used it as intended, because my mom held on to mine, and basically was like, here's your pill, and I was just a good boy, and didn't really know anything. But basically, later on, when they took it off of me, I was more focused, naturally. But I had times where I wasn't. And then I started like coping with
we
it.
We call that ADHD paralysis.
Yeah, but basically I started like figuring out how to like micromanage my life in order to as I'm growing up type of thing. And something that did help me was the pup play. And that's what I'm interested in like talking about, is how pup play helped like me specifically, where when I was, you know, when I get frantic or like have too many things on my list of things to do, I just get turned into puppy brain. And actually, I saw something on TikTok, and I'm going to shout it out real quick. But basically,
oh, now you're watching TikTok.
No, this was a while ago. But basically, I found out that someone takes a D10. Dice type of thing, makes a list of 10 items.
Oh, I've seen
and
that.
Then basically rolls the D10 to then dictate what they have to do first. And I was like,
"Ooh, that's a good idea."
I was like, cool, "Oh my god, this is so brilliant! Like, why haven't I thought of this?"
I like those other ones you see too, where they'll come up with like a piece of paper, and they have two pieces of paper, and it has two things written on it, and whatever one you pull is the one that you're doing for like the date night and all that.
Yeah.
But like, that's the other thing is, like I said, like you were saying with like the pup thing is like, and I've mentioned it a couple times on the earthquake, guys. Shit.
Sorry.
God damn.
I'm trying to cool my computer. Trying to cool my computer because it's like overheating a little bit.
Oh, you're pulling a Dawson now, are
Things
you?
Things are going south in Omaha, apparently.
I don't live there yet. No.
But that's the one thing that I mention all the time is that like my human self, that's why I fire them. It's like my human self will like just, and I've told Keynes this before, is like I will literally, you can look at and log into my security cameras in my house. And 90% of my day, I am literally pacing back and forth in the kitchen to the same spots, back and forth, and that's it. And then I'll go sit down, I'll do a little bit of things, and that's it. The moment, like, I popped outside of stream the other day for a little bit, and I finished a whole puzzle. I've never done a puzzle in my life.
Well, good for you.
450 pieces, and I finished the puzzle. What the tits, Dawson? Like I said, human self can't do nothing, but Dawson, we're building an empire.
So, okay. So, Winchester,
anyway.
So, getting back to the neurodivergence and stuff like that. So,
yes.
Where, explain some of the benefits of pup play, how that helps an ADHD type person or pupsin or whatever you want to call them to deal with these type of issues.
So like one example or a big example is structure. So can give so during a pup play scene, it can actually give the pup a lot of structure. So like for example, what I would do if I were to train a pup would be a training session. So I of course talk through with the pup like in detail about what we're gonna do and what tricks we're gonna do, and then you know, because it can give the puppy a sense of structure, a routine, so it you know, it's more, you know, habit forming, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes it's still hard for us because daddy tells me that I need structure and he's giving me structure. The only thing is that I have to remember to actually make the lists that daddy tells me to make.
Mm.
And that's half the battle. It's literally half the battle is just picking up a piece of paper, entering it into your phone somewhere where you're never, like, where it won't, like, forget. Or just taking, like, the whiteboard out of the one room that you can't see it to put it somewhere where it is. But, like, that means finding the drill. And then, like, by the time you get the drill, you realize that the closet's dirty. And then you have to clean the closet. And by the time you do there, you realize that Daddy remembered that you had to throw out a box a day. So then you get that box and you end up just leaving everything. And
sounds like a spiral.
It is. That's literally, it's an, like I said, it's That's the one thing with neurodivergent pups that sometimes and I'm sure you can attest to this, Scout, that helps with the hood is it kind of like I've said before, it's kind of like horse blinders where it kind of lets us narrow ourselves in. It's the same thing why I use noise canceling headphones is because like I can be in the house and nothing's playing in the house. There's no distractions, but just the fact that I can hear the trickle from the fish tank makes me think, okay, well, maybe there's something in that area that needs to get done. So I'll get distracted and go over there, or I'll just kind of like make me zone out even more.
Okay.
But that was going back because I saw that your face kind of gave that little bit of a when I said ADHD paralysis, barely.
Yeah.
So basically, like, and you kind of teeter tot between the spirals and the paralysis.
Okay.
So, like, the spiral is like when you come in and all of a sudden you have like half these, like, 500 half done tasks, and that's the spiral. But then the paralysis is sitting there knowing the fact that you need to clean this up before your husband gets home or you're going to get in shit, and you keep telling yourself you need to do it, but you haven't moved an inch in 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's not even the fact that you're on TikTok, you're just literally, you're sitting there, you're telling yourself that you need to do it, but you just, there's so much going on that you just don't know where to start or what to do with it. That's why most of us just end up shoving it all in the closet.
That's what I do. Okay. But it comes out.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So like the reason why it's taking me so long to like get a couch and things in my apartment is because literally I get distracted. So
I mean, you have a folding chair now.
Oh,
so.
Yes, I do have a folding chair.
I see the folding chair, yes.
You got that's, one that's seat out of the three there, so you're doing pretty good.
Yes.
By Christmas, we have faith keys. Yes.
but I've been slowly trying to organize, and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do one of those boxes a day. So, right. Well, not like a day, but like when I have like a day to do it. So like it's been a lot of times on Saturdays when I'm doing it. So I basically will put on some music and then I will turn off my computer screens, completely. So it's just playing music and then my computer screens are off. And then I'm literally just like dancing around and like cleaning up and like doing things around the apartment. But, I have to make a list for it. So like I have to literally move the box into the center of the room and go, okay, this needs to be empty. So I have to literally take one item at a time and then put it away where it needs to go because I'm the puppy that will literally like, I mean, you look at the shelf right there. You can look literally right over here and it's, yeah, exactly.
Is this what you're talking about? This is what people don't see on stream.
Yes. The massive stuff stacked up.
I don't want to show you my room.
I have to put away like
no giving away the secrets,
Scout. When I'm holding it.
What secrets?
Because if I don't, then I will set it down somewhere and I will never find it ever again and then I'll go purchase a new one.
Although you know what bugs me the most though? Yes. Is that when I put stuff places and then Marcus goes and cleans, and I know it's a good thing, but he literally cleans up right behind me. So, like, I'll go and do, like, I don't care, clean up tomorrow, but not today. Let me do my shit today and then clean up tomorrow. Because I'll be doing, like, again, I'll be having an ADHD spiral, and I'll have a bunch of tasks on, and all of a sudden I'll go up and do something, and then 40 minutes later I'll come down and start finishing the other task, and he would have cleaned up already, and I'm like, I had this right here. I know it was right here. I'm not going. And then all of a sudden my ASD kicks in and I start going into a spiral with that. I'm like, no, it's right here. It was right here. And then all of a sudden he's like, what are you looking for? This. Oh, I put it away upstairs. You son of a bitch.
That was mine to put away. So
no. You did talk about a little bit in your introduction, I believe, about overstimulation. Yes. So I do want to talk a little bit about that as well. So
remember, never pull the skin all the way back, Kane says.
No.
Let them do it.
Don't do that.
Let them do it
not
themselves.
That not that overstimulation, sorry. Not, yeah. Not that kind? Okay.
I mean, that could be part of it, part to a whole.
But,
but if you pull the skin back and it plays music, you have a problem.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing, yes.
I mean, I might not complain because chances are at this point, Lizzo might be at the end of that flute with all the flutes that she's been playing, so...
Anyway, overstimulation. Yep, we've gone off so, the rails.
Overstimulation.
Just a little. Okay, what was the question?
Can you explain what overstimulation is?
So overstimulation, so like for example, I'll give you an example of my life. When I first started prepping out in a public setting, I was in the dungeon area because this is a plate party, and the music was blaring. There's just a lot to see. There's a lot of lights, and there are multiple scenes going on. And some scenes were quite intense, like impact scenes. You know, I don't know if there's any fire scenes, but it was a lot for me to process. So it's like when all senses are overpowering, and you just it overstimulates you. So sometimes you can, extend or like. Paralysis, as Dawson previously mentioned, that's one example. So it's basically overloading the five senses.
So I have to ask a question because as I'm getting more and more into this and becoming friends with more and more pups, it seems that this type of thing is very common in the pup community. Or is it just that all the people I've surrounded myself with are ADHD and neurodivergent?
It's actually fairly common in the pup community from what I've heard and from the pups I've come into contact with.
Okay. All right.
And realistically, it makes sense because, again, if you're looking at why certain people with mental health issues or are neurodivergent or things like that are into the kink community, are into the pup community, is mostly because they're seeking that structure, they're seeking that stability, and that mentorship that they would have either had in school. Like for me, like think about for me having three social workers with you at all times for 18 years. Special needs classes, all these different things. And then the moment you're out, we need $5,000 if you want to even get looked at to come to college and have those same things. If not, good luck. We're not going to even look at you. You're just, that's it. And that's a huge, like, whoa, like that's, and now all of a sudden, like I said, and I was also in cadets with that too. So now I'm out basically on the street with the not with the ability to do it, but without the capacity, so to speak, to be able to create my own structure. And now with the pup community, with either sirs, daddies, handlers, the kink community in general, it gives you that opportunity to regain that structure, which then allows you to kind of be that same person that you were before, which quote unquote was normal, because they were giving you the ability to do and show you what your full capabilities are. And if you really think about it, at the end of the day, if that's what the kink community kind of is kind of structured from the beginning, from the before four times in the war times, right? Then realistically, if everybody's looking at that boat and they're all thinking it's a pretty boat, then chances are most of the people on that boat are going to be thinking the same, right? So.
Okay.
If that makes sense, does that make sense, or did I just blow a bunch of stuff on my ass?
No. I think you do have a point.
A fresh ass.
Yes, a very fresh beautiful ass. God, sex talk.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
easy breezy, beautiful cover.
You do have a point where pups do tend to have sort of that underlying tone of maybe a mental disorder or something along those lines. But there's also at the same time, probably just as many with none of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's necessarily a...
And we see you, power bottoms.
Oh, yes. I don't necessarily know if it's like a 50-50 split, or I don't know necessarily where the spectrum is of how many, but there mm-hmm. is definitely a draw to it with the mental side of things where you're able to kind of cope with it better with the pup play or with more kinks.
Well, it makes sense because it is a form of escapism. And,
yes, exactly.
And so escapism is going to help the ADHD. And I, you know, I am of a different age bracket. And when I was in school, in grade school, we didn't have, if anybody had ADHD or was neurodivergent or anything like that, nobody cared. If you didn't pay attention in school, the nuns hit you upside the head with a ruler until you paid attention. And that was the drug of choice, was a 12-inch ruler smacked in your head. And you shut up and you did what you were supposed to do.
Or trying to get up those set of stairs before grandpa got the belt off. And you'd even make it around the first set before getting upstairs before that belt was off.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, they were skilled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I got hit in the head with a eraser from school, too. Just flicked across the room. I swear this one nun, she had a supply of erasers under her desk and she could flick them out and hit just whap, 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 hit like six of us in a row, just right across the board. Choo!
If you dodge a ball, you can dodge an eraser.
Yes.
That's nonsense. That's
nonsense, yes.
None.
Oh my god. Yeah.
That's what kind of
That's what kind of
meat a priest eats. None. All right.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to our topic. So
yes.
So how would someone with overstimulation more brought into like that headspace of being a puppy? Like what are some tips or tricks that might help in doing so?
So like with respect to getting into pup play, like for the first time or like in a public space?
Yes.
Both.
So I'm going to do basically what advice you gave me, Kings, which is actually a very good piece of advice, is one, of course, start them off slow, explain through them with them like in great detail, like here's how it's going to go down. And then I would also highly recommend, as Kate chatted with me at least a month ago, start them off in a private setting to really help them explore their pup space. Once they get into full pup space, and then once they're getting more comfortable with their pup space, then slowly introduce them into a public setting.
Now, should I be telling you that I have an audio sensory problem, or should we just assume that our handler knows that before we go to the crowded bar?
You definitely... So, basically, the handler should know, not know, but, like, the pup should let the handler know, like, hey, I'm neurodivergent, or I have these things, you know, and they figure out, they have a conversation on how to accommodate, like, what can I do best to, you know, make your experience, you know, memorable, or make a play very enjoyable. So, like, sometimes what I do, I'm actually wearing now, so, like, when I'm at a public tea party, and I get overstimulated, I actually also wear noise-canceling headphones, so I control the intensity of how much noise cancellation I want, and it actually helps calm me down instead of me, you know, freaking out or, you know, getting, like, paralysis.
Well, and to be fair, a handler and a pup should have a relationship and talk about things long before they go into a public setting. I mean, a handler shouldn't be taking a new pup that when they have no knowledge of what that pup is like or needs to a big pup mosh to start. I mean, that's just my opinion.
No, but... this is very accurate.
No, that's actually, I recommend
so
that.
This is with any pup and handler like situation. It's not just for someone with an extra added thing on it. It's with any pup. If someone is new to a pup and handler situation, like, not, you could have pups and handlers before, like, sure. So like if you had pups before or if you had a handler before, it doesn't make a difference. If you are a brand new couple, like, I'm just going to put it as a couple, as mm-hmm. you know, a pup and a handler.
You heteronorms. Disgusting. God, heteronormative relationships? What is this? A straight podcast?
Why did you bring that into this?
Hey, there's plenty of straight pups out there.
There are, and we love
and
you.
And gays have couples.
Mm-hmm. Yes, gays have couples.
I mean,
yeah, what but is, like, what is not a couple, successful
what
ones.
Does a couple have to do with being heteronormative?
A couple.
Anyway, getting back to what Keynes was saying. So,
see, this is why I get so sidetracked.
Three pups with ADHD. Always a great mix.
Yes. It's so great.
It's okay. We're through the first two topics in the entire 4-page document that
we're
we have
so
to get
sorry,
through, guys.
Really.
So we're good. We're right on track.
So basically what I'm saying is when any pup and a handler first are meeting, they should actually have that dynamic alone, like more like in a closed off space. Because there's a lot of communication that has to happen even before they get into the gear, before they get into that headspace. There's a lot of communication that has to happen before. So that's when you would bring up, hey, you know, I struggle with this. I have this. This may help. Maybe we do this. Maybe we try this type of thing for the handler to go, okay, great. Let's do that. Or, oh, I don't think I can handle that, because there's going to be some handlers that aren't going to be able to handle that because they might not know how to. So it's a good thing for both people to have that communication so that they know, okay, this will work out or not. And that's kind of basically what I want to make sure everyone knows is, like, if we just went to an event and we're like, this is the first time we're meeting as a pup and handler, and you're trying to talk in a bar when there's music or, you know, loud things happening and all of this is going on, even without their neurodivergent type of things happening, it's still hard as just a puppy trying to be in that space and trying to have a communication.
That's why I
missed
the bus. I got put into that situation and I just didn't go. I missed the bus.
One other thing I do as a handler, but in team in general, whenever I talk with a new bottom, is one of the questions I ask, of course, is, you know, are there any health concerns that I need to be aware of that pertain to this specific scene? So, like, for example, pup play, I say that the physical health condition that you may be aware of. And then I go through them or with them, like, okay, next we're going to talk about mental health. Is there any, you know, triggers, or is there any mental health concerns that you may be aware of that pertain to the scene or to what, you know, we're about to do? That includes, you know, triggers, any PTSD, you know, depression, anxiety, all sorts of things.
So should a handler have, like, I don't, for lack of a better term, an emergency kit mentally, I guess, would be, you know, if I would think as a handler, if I'm going to be handling a pup or several pups, I need to have stuff in my toolkit to use if something happens during a situation. So there should be, am I in the right track?
No, you definitely
yeah,
are.
No, you are very much in the right track. Okay. What I do, so like,
what do you think the zippers are on the back of our little? This is your aftercare kit right here. It goes in the little zipper.
Okay, that's a very tiny aftercare kit.
So like, for example, if you, this, of course, when you discuss with the partner or with the pub, like if there's any unintentional triggers that I accidentally set off, what do you need me to do? Do we need to go straight to aftercare? You know, do we need to do this? Discuss because each pub is different and helps with neurodiversity as well. So it's essentially communication.
Like, I have literally been like 70% through a scene, and all of a sudden they just put the wrong pressure on the wrong spot, and I freaked the fuck out. And it wasn't like anything bad. It wasn't them. It was just whether it was from the past, things that have happened, or like just a weird timing or a weird sensation or what it is, or just like they moaned the wrong way. Like, I still can't listen to that. What is his name? Jesse McCartney's Beautiful Soul or Beautiful Face or whatever the hell it is. Cause there was a porn in it years ago that I watched over and over too many times. And now I just can't stand the song anymore.
Okay.
But it's just like one of those things where like, it's like, you just need to like, again, leave and reset, and your partner just needs to know that it has like, because the thing is like when something like that happens, what most of the time we have to remember that, yes, the person on the other side that is freaking out needs to calm down and chill. But also we have to remember that the person that is dealing with that also has to remember that it's like, it's not your fault. You're doing the best that you can. Like, you don't, like, don't get mad. Don't get upset with yourself. Like, it's a scary situation, because depending on how the reaction is, it could be the equivalent of like listening to your parents fight, where you're like, all of a sudden you have that anxiety in your body where you're like, okay, do I go up there? Do I say something? Do I walk to the fridge? And maybe if they see me walking to the fridge, they'll stop yelling at each other. Or do I just stay down here and like turn up the TV a little bit? Or do I just go to bed? Like, it's just like one of those things, but you just have to breathe and remember that you're doing the best that you can.
Okay. So, going on to the next one. Another question is like, so dealing with social anxiety, like how would you, how would maybe a pup with social anxiety benefit for joining the pup play, or, you know, being into this type of environment?
You actually mentioned this point in an earlier podcast, which I freaking loved. Is one of the biggest things is the pup could introduce anonymity. So it could help a person who is socially anxious or dealing with social anxiety, with the mindset of no one will know who I am, so I can, you know, try this or try this. So it can help them, you know, sort of come out of their shell, kind of become a little more social. And then, you know, so I know you mentioned that in the early podcast, and I love that. Another is to take things slow. I say that a lot. Especially with getting into pup play. So like, for example, when I first got into pup play, I put on my hood for about like 5-10 minutes, and then I had to take it off because I started getting overstimulated. But each time I put the hood on, I would do it a bit longer and longer in front of people till I got, you know, less socially anxious.
I'm trying to figure out where to go from here.
Basically, so something that I also thought about when we were talking about the social anxiety and the gear in the previous podcast was specifically the blinders, and it didn't come up to my brain because I don't have overstimulation, but
you don't have a horse.
The overstimulation, like, it reminds me of a little bit of a horse, where they have blinders specifically like designed for, but also pup puds have those as well. There's a specific one in general that I know of that Mr. S makes. It's a leather type of dog hood, but it has like a built-in ball gag. It has blinders built into it. And what's really cool about that is, so if you ever worn one, which I do have one and I absolutely love it, is it has little slits in the eyes. And basically what those slits do is it basically forces you to have just like a narrow vision about 15 degrees or so of your actual vision. That's just straight in front of you. So that can help tremendously in like overstimulation with the lights and stuff like that. So I wanted to bring that up too, because we never got to talk about that in that previous episode.
I actually remember you talking about that hood. Wasn't that the hood that was really rare?
It's getting more. So they're making more. Have been making them. They sell out like hotcakes. I talked to my friend that works there, and he basically is like, we get them in, and 2 weeks later, they're completely gone. And so that kind of gives you like an idea of how many people want these hoods, because it is a very versatile hood too. So it has a built-in collar, a built-in ball gag, so you can actually snap in a ball gag into the mouth. And it's a small enough ball gag where it's not going to like make you deep throat, and you can still like swallow when it's in. So it's just enough to like go, okay, it's still there, but it's, you know, not so much where you're going to like choke on your own saliva or whatnot, or make you feel uncomfortable in that way. And then also the different types of blinders. So there's also a full cover one as well. So for deprivation, a lot of people like the deprivation side of things to go into that headspace. Going from there, so like, what about like unintentional triggers? So like say like something like where Dawson was in when he was just talking about that scene that happened, and then 70% through, you know, he triggered in a bad way. So how do you like kind of more know what those maybe bad triggers are? Do you talk about them? Do you have like a backup plan for them? Like how do you get a pup out of that headspace really quickly, but not like not in a jolting way, so to speak?
So one, if you can, talk about it ahead of time, because that can help really mitigate the situation to a much smoother transition. So, like, for example, if I get triggered, you know, like, because I also deal with PTSD. So if something does happen, say, during a scene, and I experience, like, a flashback or a trigger, I would, of course, discuss with the handler or the top at the time and say, okay, here's what we need to do. We'll go straight to aftercare. I want to find a quiet place to, you know, decompress, to, you know, gather my senses and just, you know, be calm. So that's one example for an unintentional trigger, but mostly talk it with the other partner or all parties present.
Communicate. Like,
yes.
It's Mental Health Awareness Month. What do you think the awareness count stands for, everybody? No more of this, oh, I don't want it to define me and people. No, fuck you. It does define you, and it makes you a better person for it. Talk about it. Bring it up. Don't be ashamed of it. It is part of you, and the moment that you learn to love that part of you, the better person you'll be and the more comfortable you'll be able to be around everybody else.
That's very good advice. Very good advice.
Here's also another question, because I like kind of these fastball questions, actually. Mm-hmm. So
you're throwing curveballs.
Yeah, curveballs. So what
balls.
I was gonna say curvy balls at me, but
I'll pull them out.
You were
right
saying
balls on a mouse.
So what maybe are like three things that you would give to like three advices, like three like tips or tricks that might help a handler with a puppy that has some sort of neurodivergent thing that they have to that they're you know.
One thing I would definitely say, and I know it's been mentioned in this podcast many times, but I can't stress this enough. Pep play is different for everybody. So there might be a pup who may say, oh, I'm not doing very well, or I'm not a very good pup because I'm not doing this or that. I should be doing this. I would tell them, you know, pup play is different for everybody. There are no set rules or absolutes. There, you know, there are guidelines to help with pup seeing or bad. The other second piece of advice is, you know, accept the pup for who they are. Accept that we are doing our best, or that they are doing the best. And third advice, which I know I've mentioned in the notes for like handlers, especially, is one of my biggest like priorities as a handler is to ensure that the pup is safe, pup feels welcome, and, you know, can really be a pup without feeling judged or embarrassed. And that, you know, for example, there might be a pup that, you know, like, oh, I'm not feeling it today, you know, can we try a different time? I'd be like, you know, yeah, that is totally okay. Do it when you're ready, when you want.
Going back and also keeping on that, just what advice would you have given 3 months ago Dawson and all the other puppies out there that would be in the same situation where they're not, they don't have many friends and they're a little antisocial and they want to go to the first pup night, but they're going to be going by themselves and they're going to be in full gear. How, what advice would you give them on approaching somebody at the event, talking to their first puppy, just trying to feel safe, but also seen at one of the events?
One of the pieces of advice I'd give, this of course is like not discussion ahead of time, but like see if a friend is willing to go with you so you don't have to go alone. So if you do experience anxiety at the event, fall back on a friend, say like kind of like emotional support, if that makes sense. The other is, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there and say hi, and like to ask a question like, hey, can I talk with you? One of the best pieces of advice I was given, you know, is one of the worst answer you can ever hear someone say, like answer for a question is no, if that makes sense. So it's not the end of the world. It could just be miscommunication or there's just many factors, but ultimately, don't be afraid to reach out. Just tell them the situation like, hey, I'm a new pup or I'm new to the area. Can you show me around or, you know, something like that, if that makes sense.
Or look for Barely and Keynes on the dance floor chatting.
Right. Well, so and here's the thing, as a handler, I know that when I go to moshes and stuff and I see pups, a lot of times, and I get this question in the chat a lot. It's like, I'm a new pup. I want to start playing around, but I don't have a handler. I don't know how to get to a mosh. I don't know how to do the, how do I do that? And so my advice is just go and remember that if you go in gear, you're a pup. You be whatever pup you want to be. You don't have to be your human self because you're not when you go to this. Now, when I go to the moshes and I will always see a pup just sitting in the corner looking confused and nervous. And I will usually go up to them and say, hi, I'm Barely. How are you doing? How are things going? Is this your first mosh? And, you know, and engage them in conversation. And a lot of times I feel that when you engage them in conversation like that, that does help to draw them out and does help to make them feel part of the group. Because it's scary to go to something like, I remember when I went to my first one, I was scared out of my fucking mind. It's like, what the hell am I getting myself into here? And it was, you know, about a half an hour in, I was like, okay, this is a lot of fun. But it was just one of those things where you have to be, you're going into a big social situation and you're already coming in at a loss if you are coming in on a deficit, if you've got ADHD, neurodivergency, things like that. So you're coming in as on a deficit, but if you understand that a lot of the pups there are very similar, going through the very similar things, or went through the similar things that you are going through now, you'll be fine. Just talk to somebody.
Did I ever tell the podcast about my first mosh?
I'm sure you did, but you can tell us again.
Okay, so
tell us a story.
The first time I got invited to a mosh, I was going down to the bar, right? And it was during the day. So I literally drove, and I had my little my hood in the passenger seat of my little truck, and I went all the way down there. This is like a 45-minute drive from my house to the bar. So I went all the way down there, right?
And you were questioning your decision all the way.
All the way. The whole way. Okay.
Lowe's cock was in his hand.
And then I park, and I'm texting the person that I'm supposed to meet on Telegram. And I'm like, hey, I'm here, but I really don't know if I want to come in. I'm just gonna sit out here for a little bit and see. So I didn't go in. I literally sat outside for the entire event, just basically going, I don't know if I want to go in. Do I want to go in? Maybe I don't want to go in. What if they don't like me? So basically I was kind of stuck in there. And then, so I left. I basically left and then went home and was like, okay, well, this isn't for me. I'm fine. And then a couple pups from that mosh actually was like, oh, you know, I really wanted to meet you and, you know, hang out with you. And, you know, I'm sad that you didn't go, but, you know, maybe, maybe next time. So basically I was like, okay, yeah, okay, I will try it one more time. But you're going to have to come out there outside and actually get me if I stay outside. And they're like, okay, that's fair. I was like, I just cannot do it unless I like know someone. And so I went the next time and basically I texted one of the people there and I was like, hey, you know, can you just meet me outside, please? And so they came outside. They're like, you know, in their normal street clothes. Mm-hmm. So it made me feel a little bit more comfortable. And basically I talked with them for a little bit and then we eventually went in. And then I didn't actually pup out or anything. I just had conversations with people and just talked with people. And it got me more comfortable with going to the moshes themselves. And then going from there, then I started working myself up to being in gear, going on the play mats, playing with other pups at that, you know, at that scene and being a part of it. Then I didn't just dive right into it.
Yeah, it's slow. It can be a slow process. There is nothing wrong with that. Take your time. Don't like rush like pump space or pump play. Mm-hmm. Basically what I tell my pups that I work with is you set the pace or they set the pace of what they want to do. I'm just merely their guide. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure that, because one of the things for me, like as a handler, once the pup is in full pup space, then it would be my like responsibility. Like I would be 100% responsible for the pup's well-being while they're in full pup space. Mm-hmm. To make sure that they're doing okay, and then that, you know, they don't go into anything dangerous. But yeah,
right. So tell us about you said you were working on a community outreach program for senior kink members and service pups. So tell us a little bit about that. That's very niche.
Yes.
Also daunting, by the way.
Also what?
Daunting. Like daunting. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Like that's adult thing.
Yes.
That's not daunting. That's adulting thing. There you go, Barely. Just... There's my pun for the week.
There you go. Okay, good for you.
No, it's just a full adulting. Yep. Oof. No. So I was discussing with one of my friends in the Omaha community, and we're actually thinking about doing a few projects together with respect to Puck and Play. And because one of the things I want to do is handler training, but originally handler training, but with senior kink community members to, help them still, give a voice and be, still involved so they're not forgotten. Because some members of the kink community who are, up there in age may feel like they have nothing to offer or feel like, sorry, I'm drawing blanks. But so what one of my ideas was, it's kind of like a dog training program, kind of, but only for like outreach. But service pups would, be like companions mm-hmm. for senior kink community members.
Oh.
Just like as a dog would.
Okay.
So they can help them with whatever they need. Yes, there's going to be a lot of logistics that have to be involved and consent.
Mm-hmm.
Consent is number one. But the idea is to have service pups, who are willing mm-hmm. and consenting be paired up with, say, a senior kink member, and then they would discuss then what they could do together.
Hmm.
If they want to hang out, come out,
Oh. Okay. Now, you talked about handler classes. So tell us about that.
So there's a lot of things I want to do for Omaha. One of them is create a handler training class. So to better train, because I do have friends who are interested in becoming handlers and they don't have no experience with pup play whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I would need to ask quite a bit of pups, and then I would train handlers of, first pet play is different for everybody, go through that spiel and then have them, go show them the ropes of how you could train a pup, like in stages or, teach tricks. Kind of like dog training classes, basically, but for human pups.
Okay. I like that idea. I like that concept. You can get a bunch of service pups together and do role playing so that the handlers can deal with different situations that these pups have coming up. I like that idea. That's a very cool idea.
So Canes, when you get your house together, we'll pick from Scout's pool of pups that they've trained. So that way we know that they're automatically not going to pee on your brand new couch.
Yes. His brand new chair. He'll have second chair. Yes.
Brand new chair.
Yes.
But I want the chair. I want to claim it. I want to claim the territory.
Secretly, that's why they have that one, because it's easier to clean.
Right. Okay. Canes went to get a coach, and he comes back with one more chair. Yay.
I saw it at Lowe's, and I was like, this is perfect. I will just pick this up. Because if I have a guest over, then they actually have a seat. That was the biggest thing. Because I know it's going to take me like another month to pick out a couch at this point.
And eventually your face will go numb. So.
I think we should pool our money and just Amazon ship him one just out of the blue.
I just want a cheap couch at this point. And
never mind donating to the channel anymore. We're just going to get a wish list going for Canes now. We need to furnish his living room.
We're going to call let's get Canes a couch.
Yeah, I don't even have like a coffee table. Like it is just literally an empty.
It's an empty room. Yes, it's like.
Hey, actually, we can knock two birds out with one stone, Canes. I'm going to get all the stuff that Daddy says I have to get rid of. I'm going to just send to you, and then you can put it in your place, and then there we go.
Sounds good.
I got plenty of stuff to get rid of, too.
I got a garage full of crap.
You just pay for the you provide shipping.
Oh, God, that's going to be expensive.
Like, what's this random box I just got from Barely? Oh, look, it's DVDs and VHS recordings. Woohoo!
No, please, no, those will be in the trash so fast.
Okay, send Canes VHS.
Tapes, yes.
They will be in the trash. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, sorry, send Canes a VHS tape player.
Ah, got it. Yes. I don't even have a TV, mind you.
Wait, you don't have one of the TVs with the VHS is in it?
I do not.
I have one with a duo VHS and DVD player.
I literally work,
right?
and at my computer, and then maybe a little bit of the kitchen, and then at the computer. That's all I do.
I'll be sure to get you one for Christmas now.
So while we're wrapping things up, you know, Scout, is there anything that you like started recently or, you know, have that you're wanting to share or blast out?
Yeah, blast all out for us.
It's that stream thing. Don't you have a stream thing?
You to play with your Twitter.
Yeah, your new thing. Your new thing. Yes.
You know,
I'm not derpy.
I literally threw you a slow pitch.
Right? It was a lob right over the plate.
He's over there being like, what the hell is this Disney dog trying to do? Make the Disney sign like, with his hand or some shit.
No, I'm
you're watching off leash.
he was,
it's like the T-ball. I actually hit the pole instead of the ball.
He was it. Harry Pottering for you. He was.
See, I'm normally neurodivergent people are good with visual signs, and here we are being like, who?
We're fascinated. So I recently started a new Twitch stream, not Switch.
Switch stream, yes.
His name's Daniel.
Who's Dan? Oh,
he's
sorry.
My favorite Switch.
He's your favorite Switch?
Tell me more. Okay, no.
Who's your least favorite Switch?
Travis.
I'll come back to you on
Travis.
That.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's Steve. No.
Steve.
What's your username?
My username? Let me pull it up real quick.
Bruh.
It's PupScoutW.
PupScout.
Actually, it's your first. It's your first week. Okay, I won't give you heck yet. Just wait till next month and I start giving you hell about not running your pre-rolls. It's great. My entire den is just me yelling at them, telling them to hit the button for pre-rolls because I'm sick of watching them. Aren't you excited for me to mentor you into this world, Canes? It's going to be so much fun.
So it's Pup Scout W. Pup Scout W. It's a picture of me and one of my harnesses and shirtless, of course.
All right.
Is actually when I was working out for Daddy, because I'm on his program. But that is the handle.
Nice. Okay.
But I'm slowly in the process of trying to get a camera and then hook it up to the Xbox as well. Because I spent quite a bit of money on the Xbox from an impulse purchase and tax refund. So
but it's a pretty little mini fridge.
It ain't a mini fridge, just a heater.
Oh.
Easy bake oven.
Easy bake oven.
Yeah.
That 100-watt bulb.
Easy microwave.
I used to, I used to just struggle Dawson needing to want to eat because he would never eat, speaking of Ritalin and losing all that fun stuff, not having an appetite at dinner. And I had those parents that if you didn't eat at dinner, you're not eating at all. So, like, Dawson would be downstairs using the light from his Light Bright to cook, like, french fries one by one and eat them. Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Never change, Dawson.
Okay.
Niall will try not to.
I have one last thing. One last thing that we have to bring up is the podcast sex position that we're doing for this week.
The sex position.
Who's coming up? Yes. Who's coming up with it?
This I got moves. It. It's mine.
Actually, it's Barely. It's Barely's.
Let's hear it.
Okay. This is the sex position is called the Snorlax.
Oh.
Okay. So if you're familiar with Pokemon, so the Snorlax is a very large bear bottom, and the very small twinkish top has to catch him. You see. And then lay him down, and you have to come up from underneath to get your thing inside the Snorlax in order to access the sweet spot. So that's my sex position for the week.
I feel like I need to take that.
Say that again, Pop Dawson.
I feel like I need to take that description and put it into one of the AI generators just so we can see. Daddy, get on this. You're the one with the sexy one. You're the one with the sexy furry AI generator. Get on it. If not, I'll figure it out. Actually, you know what? I'll just, because you'll just be like, you need to learn. You can do it. I'm like, fine.
Fine.
The Snorlax.
The Snorlax. Lorax
the Snorlax. The nice. Snorlax. I can't wait.
Lorax's cousin.
I can't wait to hear Keynes's next.
Yeah, Keynes is next.
It's gonna be a long 2 weeks before we get there. Do we have some time? Do we have a little bit of time left?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Did you want to spin the wheel? Do we have a wheel?
Sure.
Or did you dismantle it already?
Did you want to spin the wheel of kink?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well, let me call the wheel of kink up.
Oh, we should just do this every episode.
Okay.
I like to buy
Where
a
have
file,
you been?
Please.
Or no, I just told... I was like...
Can I buy a consonant?
Can I buy a consonant?
Wrong, no, wrong just type a vowel. Of wheel.
Okay, we're gonna spin the wheel. And this is the wheel of kink. Here we go.
Oh,
food Ding. Play.
Food play.
Oh my god. Okay. I have a picture of this and it's so hot. There's like a Ooh, bunch semi. Of guys around this little twink boy on a table at Thanksgiving, and they are just like, there's a turkey in the middle and stuffing on his ass and cranberries all up the back of his neck. Oh, it was so... Honestly, I don't know how I would be able to stay still, but I would love to eat the stuffing off that man's ass.
You would be wagging all over.
Oh. By the way, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that I had a story for that quick.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's a repertoire.
So,
I'll send it in the Telegram group, right. Guys, when I find
with,
it.
With relating it to puppy play, actually, because I can do that this time. So, something that is kind of a trigger for a couple pups that I know, actually, is peanut butter. Now, mind you, make sure that it's actually like they're okay to eat peanut butter first before you
no
do
nut
this.
Allergies.
Yes. No nut allergies. vice versa. But anyways, something that you can do is just put a little dollop of peanut butter like somewhere where you want them to lick.
Okay.
And then they basically will sit there and then they'll get it off of you, and then they'll sit there and just go.
Ah, for the ASMR pokes in the world.
Yes, like... but they literally will get full on distracted by the peanut butter, like inside of their, you know, if you've ever given a dog, like a real dog, like peanut butter, like that's exactly what a human puppy does. it's really funny.
Peanut butter anywhere.
So, Scout, have you ever done food play?
I mean, as in treats, yes, but food play, not yet. But I want to try, like, especially with the ever classic whipped cream.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely whipped cream on the cock is always fun.
Whipped cream is so much fun.
So much fun.
I used to do that.
Now, like, when you're saying whipped cream, is that like the cream filling or?
No. I'm talking about the little can of whipped cream. Down his cock and just work your way down. Yeah, cool whip. Yes, cool whip.
That's where I was smarter.
Whip.
Well, Keynes was off getting his cigarettes. Well, Keynes was off getting his cigarettes from the football team. I was at home with my straight buddies eating whipped cream off of their bodies, so that way, by the time we were done the whipped cream, we can do whippets.
There you go.
I know.
And then nay-nays.
And you said
now that I'm looking back and like the more that I talk about like my like past history and shit like that, I'm like, what the fuck did Catholic school do to us?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I hear a lot of stories from Catholic school.
God damn.
There was a lot of stuff going on in the sacristy with the altar boys, I got to tell you right now.
Maybe if they just let me make a GSA, none of this would have happened.
No, because you would have made a GSA and then they would have tried it, whatever you want to say. Don't do
it. I just polish the products.
I'm just a puppy.
All right, let's spin the wheel one more time, see what we got here.
What did we win? Okay,
underwear.
Oh, I love underwear.
Ooh, that reminds me. I need to show you one of my favorite underwears.
Yes. You don't wear underwear there, Dawson.
Yeah, I do. This is probably one of my favorite underwear. Huh? I have a huge
thing. Oh, the cell block. Yes. Yeah, the cell block. Cell block makes cell block actually really good underwear.
This is a jock strap.
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
but,
so
yes,
I think what they're talking about here,
yes,
is like the underwear kink,
yes.
Right?
Well,
so
yeah,
like for me, I have
would we match that into socks, or is that on the wheel? Would we match that? Like, would it be socks and underwear? Or is socks on the wheel too?
Socks is not on the wheel, so underwear would be your okay. Thing, yeah.
Okay.
Socks could be the underwear for the feet.
That's true.
Kinda. So I have this kink. Like this is I have done this with a couple people actually. Mm-hmm. I'm known to be a underwear stealer. And so I like used dirty underwear. Mind you, it has to be kind of a little bit of musk to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a special type of musk. It's not like, don't give me your brown poop stain underwear, because that would never fly and I would vomit somewhere. No.
I mean, the shit already hit the fan, yes. So I'm sure it wouldn't be flying your way. So.
So to speak, yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so like I have actually stolen like a straight friend's underwear. I have actually stolen because.
Can we say borrowed without the intent of giving back? Stolen seems so like.
Oh, no. I fully stole it. I had this fresh 18-year-old friend basically who basically pissed me off one day. Because he left me in his apartment alone, basically. And
what?
Yeah, so okay, so I was visiting my friend, okay, and we got drunk the night before. And then so we are supposed to hang out the next day, and instead he wakes up bright and early at 5 a.m, gets dressed and leaves and to go snowboarding up in the mountains and goes, oh, lock my apartment up when you leave. And so and then he texts me later and goes, oh, by the way, can you take care of my dog for me too? Can you like take my dog wow. for a walk? Can you feed him? Can you know all these other things? And I'm just like, motherfucker, no, I'm not doing all of that for you. I mean, I'll take care of the dog because the dog has nothing to do with it. But
it's not the dog's fault. Yeah.
So anyways,
it's never the pup's fault.
Correct. It's never the pup's fault. Anyways, I took the dog for a walk and everything else. And then basically when I came back, I stripped fully naked, rummaged all through his bed. Mind you, this he was really hot, but we would never do anything because I've known him for way too long. I jizzed in his pillowcase, like mm-hmm. not on the pillowcase.
You have my attention.
Inside.
Inside of the actual like pillow to make sure that it was staying there for a long time. And then I rummaged through.
Like, did you make a slit at least? Or like, did you just like.
No. Like on top. So like, you know how you have like a pillow cover on top?
Yeah. A pillowcase. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I came yeah. inside of the actual pillowcase. So, it was okay. on the actual pillow.
I'm thinking that you, like, fucked the pillow and, like, you came inside, like...
No.
Like a plushie.
Like,
no.
No.
like the pillow.
Like the actual pillow. Like
on the pillow. Just pillow. On the pillow. Between the pillow and the pillowcase, you left your DNA. Yes.
Yes, I left my DNA. And I also made sure that that side was facing up so that his face was on it the next day or that night.
That's how I want to sleep now.
And then I then rummaged through all of his dirty underwear and stole a few pairs and took them home with me and then left.
So are you still okay, friends?
I'm happy that you talked about coming in his pillow because like my first thought was... So he left you at your house and then your reaction was... I'm going to take his dirty underwear and come all over that. That'll piss him off. They'll get back at him for treating me like shit. Yeah. But then now that you came in his pillowcase, it's a lot better. Because at the beginning, I was like, wait, what? This sounds like a lot about you.
I did all sorts of stuff in his apartment first.
Wow. Are you still friends with this guy?
Yes, I am still friends with this guy to this day. I don't
think
he
knows. Did you tell him what you did?
No,
okay.
He will never know.
Okay.
You've heard it here first on Offleash, everybody. Kane stole Daniel's underwear.
Daniel's underwear.
Tonight at 8 o'clock. Tune in soon.
So, no, he first came over to the house and then stole the underwear.
Yes, yeah. But, like I don't think he'll ever like, I don't think we'll ever, like, talk or hang out again. But, like, we do talk every once in a while, but it's very, like, oh, how's it been?
You know, you're going to turn 80, and you're going to wind up in the same rest home as him. You're going to be sitting there over chow one day. You're going to go, you know, remember when I came over that one day, and you left me in the apartment? And you know what I did? You know, I know you don't remember this, but your pillow has my cum on it. Do you still have that pillow? Because I'm just curious.
And then Daniel's going to look over at him and be like, bitch, is that my underwear?
Why are you wearing my underwear?
Why is it so stretched out? It's so horny. I've seen thongs with more material.
So there's a website called cheapundies.com.
Oh my god, that is a beautiful website. That's actually where I got these. That's actually where I got
them. I love that website. Ooh. Yeah. And you know, I get the alert every day because they put out new stuff. They're a closeout place. They get a shipload of stuff, or they get a box full of underwear or something, and they sell it off. But they had this one, and I bought it, and it's kind of like a jock, but it's not, because all it has is the waistband around the top, and then just a pouch for your junk. And there's no straps that go up behind your butt, and there's a little elastic like cup underneath there that holds your junk in there, which is kind of cool, actually.
Is that like a little sleeve or a sock?
Kind of like a sleeve or a sock, but sock? Yeah, but it's just like a little pouch. But yeah, it's very interesting. And it was only like $5, so I thought, yeah, I'll buy that. All right, let's spin the wheel one more time before we wrap this up, and we'll kind of go from there. Let's see what we got here.
Also, because I'm looking at your collar, Scout, and I see my collar here, and they're pretty. But I don't know if anybody saw, and now we need to look into this, because now I want to know whether or not they just, that's the way they're showing their love or not. But anybody know the lead singer, Youngblood, or whatever the hell his name is? Is that the name of his band? I'm pretty sure it's Youngblood.
Was he wearing
something
a collar?
Like that. He cut his collar and then got a new one put on. And he said that he hasn't had it off in 2 years. So I'm wondering if, because he's in the emo punk kind of rock metal type scene, that maybe he's into the kink community and he's just wearing the collar and that's it. Or all of a sudden now I'm like, did he secretly just come out as a puppy without us knowing?
I don't know. Could be like that one punk rocker in New Jersey that came out as a furry by coming out on stage to sing in his fursuit.
Ooh.
Yeah. What was it? Headrest? Something Headrest is the group. I forget what that was.
Not One Idol Freddy's.
All right. Here's our new. Ooh, here's an interesting one.
Ooh, what is it?
Melolagnia.
Definition?
Orgasming to a specific song or a specific type of music.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Well, I was fucking Dawson. Taylor Swift coming in like a wrecking ball. I think that's Taylor Swift played, and it just made me come all over. So there.
Wait, hold on. Didn't I talk about this earlier? How I said that I can't listen to Jesse McCartney's "Young Love" or whatever the hell it is because of that.
Yes,
porn?
Yes, but this is you have to hear the song in order to come.
Oh,
yes,
definitely not.
The opposite of what you have.
I mean, well, technically, not really, because I did come listening to the song every so maybe.
Okay.
So technically, I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
He got desensitized.
So a couple of weeks ago, my husband came home and he's like, let's have a nooner. I was like, okay. So he says, I'm going to jump in the shower. It's like, great. So I said to our Alexa, play music to fuck by. And it was the weirdest selection of music that Alexa came up with. And, you know, we're going at it. He's like, what the hell did you put on?
So that actually reminds me. That actually reminds me. There's actually like circuit music that is full on like, daddy wants your seed. And like, fuck you in the closet thing.
Nice.
Like, there's
nice.
Like, there's like full on like sexual songs.
I have a whole playlist of it. I'll send you it if you want.
All right.
Yes, please send me a playlist.
So, do any of you have a specific song that if you were in the throes of passion and you heard that song, boom, there you go, you're done.
I don't think I have that.
Okay. No, not yet.
No.
Just, yeah. I believe I could fly.
I believe I could fly. I believe my jizz can hit the back wall or that one guy. I'll jerk it every night and day.
Come distance, should always there should always be at every mosh a contest for the furthest cum shot.
I think I might have a chance. I mean, you've seen the videos.
Yes, I have.
I don't drink enough water.
Don't drink enough water. Well, drink a lot of water. There you go.
See, my problem is I don't shoot very far unless I'm fucking someone. And the reason why is because when you're uncut, a lot of times my foreskin is actually over.
It gets away.
Like basically where like it actually is shooting from. But if I pull that back, it shoots like miles away. Like it is scary.
Okay. So speaking of that, we're going to end on this note. Think back to the very first time you masturbated and came.
Oh,
can you remember that day? Yes. Can you remember that event?
Yes, 100%.
Define masturbation, because I remember the first time I came.
When you
put that in a sentence, please.
Well, the first time that you actively stimulated yourself consciously and came because you wanted to.
Is this with someone or by yourself?
Just by yourself, just your very first time, because every boy did it once at least once by themselves and said, whoa, that felt good.
No, my first time was with someone.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow. Good for you.
Look at you.
I was a sheltered child until
my neighborhood. This is also the same guy that was collecting cigarettes for blowjobs back in the day. So realistically, are we surprised?
And came in his friend's pillow and stole his guy's underwear. So yeah, you know,
jizzing in his friend's pillow,
taking care of his
bags for fags. Yeah.
Now I remember my first time. I think I was 11 years old, and I hit the ceiling with the cum shot. And I remember it dripping down and me jumping on my bed with a tissue, trying to wipe it off the ceiling as an 11. And my mom's yelling at me, why are you jumping on the bed? No reason.
I'm just doing my Hail Marys. Yeah. No. Just praying hard.
I was surprised the first time, because the first time it happened was hands-free. Because remember how I was mentioning that I didn't really learn to jerk off until later because then my cousin showed me? Well, I had came before that, but it was using a massager the entire time. So I didn't know you could just grab your dick and fucking pump it, and then all of a sudden the same thing would happen. So like for like the first 2 years of me coming, I never actually touched my penis.
Wow. Well, good for you.
What the fuck is that? I never touched my cock.
Yes.
While I came, I used a massager the entire time.
Wow.
So that's why, like, nowadays I'm like, wait, did I just like massage the shit out of my dick so much then that's why I can't feel anything nowadays? Is because like there's some days that like you get like your normal chafing from your like jerking off.
Right.
Now imagine doing the same thing, but it's with a massager instead.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And now they make tools for the massagers so that you can do that without just having the.
And I have yes. I have big boy money now.
Yeah, I have the sleeve for the massager.
For the wand? It's yes, I do too. Yeah.
I just introduced...
Just magic.
I introduced Marcus to the massager for the first time, except... It was... Well, he was inside me putting the massager as deep as I could into my stomach.
Okay.
Well, on my penis at the same time. So that way, while he was in me, he was basically getting the full vibrations at the same time.
Nice.
It was nice.
That was that. That's one of those orgasms that you just collapse and sleep for the next hour.
For me, it's like 15 minutes.
It was at night.
Again.
Yeah. I was hoping that we'd get rid of my like weird, like my left leg. My sciatic's been like weird, so I'm like, normally I pass right out after sex, so maybe this will work. Work. No, no,
no.
No.
Well, it's been great having you on the show, Scout. It's been wonderful talking to you. You have been listening.
Thank you for having me.
Fair listeners, you have been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about all things puppy and consensual sexual play. Yeah, I've been Barely Normal.
And I've been Kings.
I've been Dawson.
And we're hoping that everybody's parts are all in the right place.
Oh, I've been Scout.
Well, yes, but I said Scout, you're our guest, so I worked on this.
I'm so sorry.
It's like, it's okay, it's all right. We like...
We're done with you, Scout, okay? That's it.
We're done, you're out.
We're horrible people over here, all right? We just play funny on TV, okay?
I know. Be careful. I see Canes by your pillow. Watch out what's going on over there. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's stealing your couch.
He's stealing your couch and underwear, yes. So.
Oh, please do.
Good thing you don't have a pillow on that bed. There's nowhere to come.
Okay, everybody send Canes a pillowcase. There we go.
Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Why can I piss you off? No.
Off Leash is an Injured Nerves production and is available on all major podcast platforms. The podcast is produced and directed by Barely Normal. Thank you to our generous pup sponsors, Scout W, Astro Wolf, Dawson P, Reddy, Pup Feral, Rudy Pup, and Scout. We appreciate your support and donations.